Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have a confession to make. Out of all the books of the Bible, I don't like reading the book of Numbers. I don't like reading this book not simply because it has numbers in it, as the name implies, but really it's because of the names. Numbers is a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male, head by head. And the names, the so hard to pronounce names, start already in verse 5. From Reuben, Elizur, son of Shedeur. From Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. From Judah, Nashon, the son of Amminadab. And on and on and on. It takes tremendous time and effort to try to read each name accurately. And it makes you question whether it's worth that effort. It'd be so much easier to read if they had names like Bob, Tom, Joe, Fred, Bill, and Dave. It may not be easy to read, but these names are written in the Holy Scriptures, and they have been preserved through the centuries. These are names of people, and they matter. They matter to God. They are part of God's story of salvation for all of humanity. We also find this in the Holy Scriptures. The names of the people often tell us something about that person, or rather, about the hopes of the parents when they're naming their children. The first names that we encounter in the Bible are Adam, meaning of the earth, and his wife Eve, meaning mother of the living. Our first parents, after the fall, named their first two sons Cain and Abel. Cain means gotten, as in, we have gotten the promised son to crush the head of the serpent. And Abel means vanity, as in, well, it's nice to have another son, but Cain is the serpent crusher, and he is the most important. Adam and Eve had some pretty high hopes for their firstborn son, and much lower expectations for their second. Then we have instances like the prophet Hosea, who named his children based not on his own hopes or expectations of his children, but by the instruction of the Lord as a witness against the rebellious people of Israel. He names his daughter Lo-Ruhamah, which means no mercy. He names a son Lo-Ami, which means not my people. The names of Hosea's children were given by God to stand in witness as a judgment against rebellious Israel. And then we have those instances in the Scriptures where God himself changes the names of certain people to reflect how their lives are changed by the promises and the purposes of God. Abram's name is changed to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Jacob's name is changed to Israel, which means struggles or wrestles with God. Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter, which means rock, and Saul's name, meaning desired, to Paul, which means little or humbled. A name is important because names have meaning. And as it turns out, people don't choose their own names. They are given. That's true then as it is now, right? You don't choose your own name. Your parents did. For whatever reason, they called you by your name. And as you were called by your first name, you were also called by their last name, the family name. And that's passed down, inherited from your father's line. Now, truth be told, you may not love your name. or you may hate your name. You hopefully love your family, even if it's true that you don't always like your family. And I think that's a fair statement, as you all know that the family that you were born into is a flawed family. You have parents who are flawed, siblings who are flawed, even you yourself are flawed. You know it from experience, and you believe it because the scriptures say so. The scriptures speak a little more clearly about our flaws. They call it sin. And we see that from the very beginning, all who have the name human have dealt with the consequences of our first parents' choice. Certainly there's been family discord from the beginning, and not only discord, but death. Cain, you recall, kills his brother Abel out of jealousy and pride. And parents have been bereft of their children ever since. Parents have made choices that have impacted their children's lives. Families have been flawed from the very beginning. But see, from the very beginning, there also was a plan to fix the flaw, to overcome sin, and to set parents and children free from the consequences of sin and death. The Heavenly Father promised already a son born into the family of humanity who would put an end to sin and death, and who would give us a new family name, a new identity, and to connect you to a greater story. A story of the Heavenly Father naming His Son. His name was deliberately chosen to communicate the Father's purpose and will for the Son. You've heard that story of His naming in the Gospel reading for today. This is where we find Joseph, who's betrothed to Mary, which means that legally they were married, but they had not yet physically consummated their marriage. Mary was a virgin, at least that's what Joseph thought until he got the news that she was pregnant. Joseph was a righteous man. He wanted to do the right thing. He knew that the child that was conceived in Mary was not his own. The situation was a mess. But he loved her, didn't want to see her publicly shamed or even executed for supposed adultery. So he made up his mind to divorce her quietly. He decided that he would have nothing to do with Mary or the child that she carried. He would not know her. He would not name the child. And the child would not be called by his father or his family's name. Now, truth be told, Joseph would not name the child, but not for the reasons that he had in mind. It's because the child already had a name. In a dream, an angel appeared to Joseph and revealed that this child that was being carried in the womb of Mary had a name that was above all names. This child was no ordinary child. Divine mystery was revealed to Joseph as he encountered this messenger of the Lord. The child that was conceived in Mary was not by her choice or by her doing, but by the Lord's. The Holy Spirit so sanctified the womb of the virgin and knit together in the flesh of a woman an infant boy, fully God with no human father and yet fully human. The angel revealed that his name shall be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Joseph would not name the child, but this child would take up his family name. After this encounter with the angel, Joseph was filled with faith stemming from this revelation, and he was bold to do what before he was afraid of. He took Mary into his home. He did not divorce her. He took her as his wife and yet did not consummate their marriage. And so Jesus would take up the family name, being born of the line and the lineage of Joseph, the great-grandson of David, the king. This child named Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary to save his people from their sins. And his people, we know, are the Israelites. Mary and Joseph were both Israelites, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is now named Israel. And from all those difficult to pronounce names in the book of Numbers, it was from the Israelites that the Savior was promised, and it was to the Israelites that Jesus was born. The problem was, as St. John put it, he came to his own, and his own people did not recognize him or receive him. But see, it wasn't just that the Israelites rejected him. Yes, Jesus had taken up the family name and the lineage and line of Joseph, but he did even more. He took up the flesh of mankind in his incarnation. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and he was born a baby boy. According to the flesh, Jesus had received the family name of Adam. God took up the name of humanity. Though he was the perfect and the right Adam, conceived of the Holy Spirit, this child had no sin of his own. The infant child Jesus was flawless. Jesus was not received by his own, but rejected. We know that he was crucified, that he died, and he was buried. This is how Jesus would save us from our sin. He dies on a cross, is laid in a tomb. Now, his death on a cross, that might be unique, but he was laid to rest just like everyone else does who bears the name human. But unlike anyone else in all of creation, see, Jesus doesn't stay in the grave. He rises in victory over sin. He lives and he reigns forever. While Jesus was sent to save his own, he certainly saved others as well. Matthew's gospel is full of the Gentiles or the nations hearing and believing what is revealed about Jesus, that he alone is the Savior from sin. That Jesus is the Savior from sin is a wonderful revelation. But oh, there's so much more. Not only is he named this because he is the Savior from sin, but he is named Emmanuel, literally God with us. This name is to fulfill what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet centuries before the birth of Jesus. This child conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary is both fully God and fully man. And as this child matures, begins his public ministry to save his people from their sin, he does so by being baptized like the other repentant Israelites, heeding the call of John the Baptist. There he bears the burden of his people's sin, their guilt, their shame. And he carries it to the cross to have it put to death, as fully God and fully man. Jesus has saved his people from their sin through his death and resurrection. You understand, Jesus was born of the lineage of David to save his own from their sin. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, John goes on to say, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have believed in his name. You are now children of God. You were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For you were baptized into the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You were crucified with Christ and raised to newness of life. You are the Lord's. You have a new family name. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, has set you free from all your guilt, all your shame, all your sin, because he has carried it to the cross to have it put to death. You are his. You've been baptized into his name, and so the Holy Spirit has conceived faith in you to grab hold of this glorious revelation and to hold on for eternal life. See, Jesus bore your name so that he could give you his. A name is important. And now, because of him, your story is found in his story. For there is only one name by which mankind will be saved from their sin. It is the name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the King who comes to save. Amen.